Welcome back to the Bearable Project. This is a impromptu podcast that John and I talked about. We talk about often. And just before we get here into the last few weeks before the Classic, we kind of just wanted to put the message out there to kind of help a lot of people who potentially could be setting themselves up for dealing with a hard time. So this is a hard truth sort of episode. It's us being vulnerable and transparent and talking about things that mistakes that we have both made in different capacities, but all are based around shooting and social media. It's some people, listen, don't be offended. It's just reality. It's our reality, and nobody knows or understands the results of social media probably more than we do in some fashion. It's not often you get, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of lighthearted moments. It was real. So I hope that you enjoy this episode. If it helps you, if you feel motivated, or if it's a reality check, you know, there's multiple ways to support the Bearable Project. It's in the show notes for every episode. So give it a consideration. We just want to see everybody be the best possible shooter and have a long career in our sport. So
time to touch some feelers.
Are you sharing it?
Yeah.
Oh man, yeah, I guess I'm gonna just make sure this gets shared out. You know, we talk a lot throughout the week, every week. You know, we talk to each other about how, you know, what's going on, and especially, I mean, I'm not shooting right now, so it's mostly Grayson and John. Talk about where things are. Speaking of where are things for you? I know you were shooting the other day and we were chatting, you were talking about, we've talked multiple times about kind of flipping around tunes, and tunes might change, and you had, you know, where you at right now with your tune and kind of feeling like you got that final setup. Where you at right now, John?
I think I'm close. I shot our conference shoot, which is a traveling league. I shot that Sunday night. I practiced Sunday day for a little bit just to see if I could find something that was worth testing for Sunday night. Yeah. I did. It was kind of neat. It was shooting really, really well and kind of tapered off at the end. So I wanted to test that under the lights. And I tested it. I got like halfway through the first half and started messing with stuff. Try to test other things.
Was that at Lonesome Road or was that at the other place?
Yeah, I practiced at OI and went down to Lonesome Road to shoot for the conference. Okay. I didn't shoot conference, but I shot with all the conference people so I can get on the running line and see how it went.
Yeah. But I chuckled a little bit when you were like, I forgot how much I hated these couple of lanes, because I've only shot Lonesome Road a handful of times. And there's this, because I'm so tall, like Lonesome Road has a rather low ceiling for someone like myself with a long bow. We had to like move ceiling tiles out of the way and stuff. So like, I empathize with that, but I guess, you know, it's probably good though that you're bouncing back and forth between those ranges a little bit because of the lighting is so much different and you can really start to see those, you know, how that affects everything and whatnot.
Yeah, so I made a mistake and I picked the wrong lane to really try to work on things. So I picked one that has, like you said, it's got a real low ceiling. So, and they got some lights directly above you, but they're pretty staggered. And I picked one where the light was kind of up and to my right. So it was kind of, yeah, the light was kinda coming on a side angle. Yeah. I should have been a little bit more aware and picked one that was like either right under the light or under two lights, like kind of in the middle. But yeah, because it really messes with your vision because it's dark back there. And then the light hits the arrow pretty bright because that's the only like kind of bright spot in that shooting lane.
Yeah. And you're going to float then. Like if you're hit, you have that to that one side, you're just going to see the arrow a little bit differently. And
yeah, it's going to be hard to center. Yeah.
Yep.
But I figured some stuff out there. So we got some form after I got done with that, I shot a little bit Monday, and worked on me to fix me so I can get back to further testing and finding the final tune for what, a week and a half from now.
Week and a half, yeah. You said about, well, in our group message, you were like, yeah, you weren't quite getting behind the bow. Can you just elaborate that on that a little bit while we're letting this build up and before we kind of get to the topic at hand? What do you mean by like getting behind the bow? Can you just define that?
Yeah, so I did a podcast with a push the other day, and we did some extra
Never heard of them.
we did some extra content for the pack, and
Yeah.
that's what kind of like got me stimulated a little bit on messing around with me, and that's when
Yeah.
I realized what I preach wasn't what I was doing. I was, you know how like people can shoot in a position and it's pretty strong for a while until they start getting tired, and then it gets pretty weak because they're not in that strong holding position.
Right.
And that's what I was doing. I was kind of collapsed in my structure just a little bit, and so that's why my sessions have been really good for a while, and then once I start getting tired, they kind of like go to
Fall
crap
off.
pretty quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that's what I worked on Monday, and it was like, oh my gosh, I'm like just yellow after yellow after yellow. And if I was a rate an 8 or 7, I mean, it
Yeah.
was a really bad shot, and it was just, I'm like, oh, this is where I need
Well,
to be. Duh.
it's good. I wanted you to just sort of put words behind the phrase so that people can. So the people here understand it, maybe they're doing similar things, and it helps. It helps when they hear people who have such a awareness about their own shot, such as yourself, myself, many others that we have that come on here that understand like the nuances. Oh, this is what I'm doing. It's always good to be able to put words to those and describe that stuff. And
Yeah.
also, I see Matt Zernzak is listening. So, shameless plug in the episode in the description of every episode of the Barebow Project is the JD3 push class. There's a link to register for that class. Every single episode has it. That's what John's talking about. Go support the push, support Matt and that team, and support John, and go check out his class. It's unlimited access once you're in there. They're adding modules and information to it. Go check that out. Obviously, John's been active with doing that stuff. You'll learn some things, people. You'll learn some things. So,
I wanted to quick re-elaborate on like kind of what I said about I wasn't getting behind the bow. I guess the best way I could describe it is like, if you're familiar with like people always push like the J draw, like
yeah,
you come
okay.
back in like a J.
Hook
But
in,
if
yeah.
you, but if you, yeah, if you come back and you're short, you're like in a very weak position. Or if you come back too far and you rotate
Come
that
off.
shoulder back too far, now
Yeah.
you're overexpanded and you're also in a weak position. Where I like the more linear draw, and so I can get behind it straighter, longer, and elongate that way, where I'm not like over rotating or under rotating my body and getting in that weak position. And that's
Yeah,
kind of what
100%
was doing
agree with
me
you.
prior.
Yeah, 100% agree with you. I think a lot of people and the NTS has done this in some ways. I think the NTS has a great purpose. It does some good things. Nothing wrong with it per se, but I don't think it's not a catch-all shot process and form that works for everyone. And I think that it leaves some variables on the table for what you just talked about right there.
Yeah.
Being able
Timing and getting behind that arrow. Yeah.
Yeah,
I've
100% agree.
seen so many people like their arm is way out of alignment compared to their arrow, and it's like
Yep.
it's really difficult to stay consistent that way.
Yeah, well, coiling is such a big aspect of NTS, and a lot of people just can't do it, or they don't have the mobility to do it, or they have other limitations, or their stance doesn't allow them to. If you have a squared stance, it's impossible to coil in NTS. Like if you're matched up this way, you can't coil. It's impossible. You have to have your hips a little bit open in order to, like standing vertical, to coil, and people just don't. And I think it's not, I don't think it's necessarily has the most significant amount of consistency with the way it's taught throughout the country. And I think that also has had some effects. But anyways, we're way outside. Good stuff. I'm glad you and Matt are updating your pushback. I know it's an amazing class. Matt does amazing work over at the push, so go check them out. And I'm sure, did that episode drop yet? I didn't see an update.
I'm not sure.
Okay. Matt, let us know if the episode dropped. If it did not, that's cool. If it did, throw it in the comments of this live feed so people can check that out. Okay, so we talk a lot. Like I kind of prefaced the conversation earlier. And I think all of us in some ways have learned, I know myself for sure on this topic, but we've all learned from our mistakes and stuff. And we see people go down paths throughout. We've seen a lot of people come and go, I guess, John, is kind of the way to say it. And we see people that they do things, they make mistakes, or they do things despite maybe being advised to go one direction or the other. We're talking about like how we over approached like our scores and stuff like that. I'm not shooting right now because it's so I can't really talk on my current experience. I can only talk about past experience. John, you are shooting right now. You're shooting well. Are you about where you normally are this time of year, I would say, score wise?
Yeah, fluctuating. Yeah.
Fluctuating. Yeah. I think the key component about that right there is fluctuating. And you're not a notorious social media poster about everything that you do, but you do post some stuff to social media. So I guess let's talk about like kind of the pros and cons of that and the way that you approach it.
It's difficult 'cause like when you post stuff on like Instagram or Facebook, you're kind of giving everybody a perspective of what you are and what you can do and how good or how bad you are at something. So people tend to post everything like the best they do. And that kind of creates a self-image that subconsciously or consciously that you start to feel like you have to live up to. So when it comes to me and approach of posting scores, I'll post the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because in reality, that's what it is. And I don't want people to think that, if I throw a 290 down there, I don't want people to think, oh, you're just shooting 290s all the time. No, I might shoot a 290, but I might turn around next week and shoot like a 265. And if I do that, and if I practice and throw a 265, I'll post it. So I'm not too worried about it because I want, everybody to see that there are ups and downs and people just won't, other people just post their super high and they don't post anything else. And then, that can lead down to a dangerous path for their
For future,
ego.
future, yeah, future competitions. You put yourself, you're sort of putting yourself on a pedestal of this is who I am as a shooter, but that's just who you are online. You're not, you want to be like really truthfully honest, you get tournaments like Archery Abroad, for example. Archery Abroad is a great, it's not tournament exactly tournament pressure. It has its own other types of pressure, but Archery Abroad is a really good way shooting on live feed that gives you a close depiction of where you're currently at. It really does. I mean, it's a weird pressure because of live feeds and what if it goes out or Wi-Fi cuts out and all that other stuff. Make sure you're in the camera and all that jazz. But we've talked about it for years. We would send messages. We'd send targets back and forth. I think I was talking about it earlier before we were live. I was like, shot a 276 on live feed once. Probably some of the best archery I ever shot. I've shot 238s in competitions before. Not at that time, but in the last 2 or 3 years, I just was struggling so bad. It happens. You just got to be honest. Honest with yourself, and it takes a lot of the pressure off when the time comes. So you can just, you don't have to focus on being that person or that shooter. You can just focus on being you.
Yeah, you don't have to build that like glass, that fragile glass image of like you're way up here. But if you're more open and open up to vulnerability, it makes it a lot easier to perform at a shoot. Because you don't have that constant reminder of, oh, I'm posting like 290, 280s, 290s, and you're at a shoot and you're falling behind. Now you got that stupid unwanted pressure that you put on yourself. With all those high scores you put online. But if you throw your highs, lows, and mediums in there, that doesn't seem to creep in the back of your mind as nearly as much. I may have become a product of that many years ago. And that's why, I just show everything and say, screw it. If you don't want to follow me because I throw a 260 down there on Instagram or something, I don't care.
Oh, excuse me. Oh my God, that's funny. Yeah, I mean that's the way you gotta be though. Like you if you want to, and that almost comes in the mental game stuff. Like that's not what this podcast necessarily was geared toward, was mental game, but if you have like the comfort in yourself as a shooter and the confidence in yourself as a shooter to be like, I don't give a shit if I shoot a 260 or I shoot a 2. Yeah, I don't want to shoot a 260. Yeah, I want to shoot a 280. I want to shoot better than 280. But you don't have the comfort level to be like, hey, that's just who I am today. And hey, you know what? I'm going to post it online. I don't care about that one that's out in the five or the six. It's part of, I'm not going to just post one that's like eight and in. And don't feel, and for those of you that are new to the sport or maybe just hitting that competition circuit or are really out there shooting good and feeling competitive, but you see other people posting these like extremely out
Yeah,
of
nothing but
ordinary.
those fights. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't feel like that's what you need to do. Actually, don't do that. Listen to what we're telling you. Don't. And there's people, those a lot, there's people out there that do this and they're not going to listen to this podcast, and that's fine. But for those of you that do, take the word of advice from John, who's got more experience than anybody in this game. You know, myself working with shooters and being a shooter myself, and like we've seen a lot of people come and go in the sport just in the 5 years that the Barrel Project is a five. Almost five, no, 5 years. Yeah, 5 years this January, right? This month. You know, we've seen a lot of people just in that 5 years that come and go, like that blast onto the scene, throw up a couple of decent scores here and there. Then all of a sudden they post these crazy online scores, and then you know what happens? They disappear.
Yeah, and they might not do bad at a comp, but that might be like what they do, like average, like because it's hard to explain like to people that don't want to listen, but like you have your average practice scores up here, but usually your comp scores are here, right? They're usually a step below. And so like if you're posting nothing but this right here all the time online, but in reality you live in this zone, and then now your comp score is here. Now, if you're here, that's still your average. But compared to that, your high practice, it might look like crap, but you actually still did good. But now you feel like, I don't know, you feel like a horse's butt because you posted nothing but great stuff all the time. And that can have a really bad negative impact on your shooting at that moment and might quite possibly down the line too.
Yeah, I think you're right. I also think that there's some sponsor-driven stuff there. I think people want to be noticed by people. They want to be, you know, kept pick up on, and it helps pick up a few sponsorships here, some, you know, like get arrows here or a grip here or whatever. And that stuff helps. So they're like, I'm gonna post all this amazing stuff so it makes me look good for those people. But at the same time, they're not, that's, if you do things correctly in archery, there you don't have to just be that best shooter all the time to have those opportunities. It's more about being presentable, being professional, be who you are, and work your tail off. And sooner or later, it will all come together. But yeah, I mean that's just such a great point across the board about like explaining how those scores kind of level off. I mean, it's this we knew this was going to be a short podcast. We're not going to, bang on this topic, but we're seeing more and more and more of it. We talk about it more and more and more, and then it's like, listen, we're not going to tell people what to do. Just take the experience. Just take the words of experience from what we've seen across the board, and do yourself a favor and just be really, really honest with yourself as a shooter.
Yeah, transparency is the key, because if you're transparent with what you're doing, then when you come to a tournament and then you step down just a little bit from your practice scores, everything's fine. Like your image is gonna be okay. You don't have to worry about that. People are gonna like you if they want to like you. They're gonna hate you if you don't want to if they want to hate you, and so be it. If they don't like you, then they're not worth your time anyway.
Yeah, you bounce back. You bounce back real fast. Like you have, the confidence doesn't go away then. The confidence that you do shoot with doesn't go away. It doesn't, you're not, your ego isn't hurt. You're able to, if say you have a below par day from what you from your average, you're okay with it because you realize where it's at in retrospect, and you can just you, the fire stays lit to get back on board and to make it right. And that's where, and I'm gonna have a little moment of transparency myself. The podcast itself, after the first 2 years, and I dove more into the coaching and more in the podcast and started shooting less, the podcast itself did that to me as like I felt like I had to be that shooter all the time. But I wasn't able to be that shooter because I wasn't able to practice. I had too many other irons in the fire with coaching full time and working full time and then the podcast and all that stuff. I'm not gonna lie to you, this break, the last 2 years have been a challenge with injuries. This current break has done wonders for me in my motivation to be involved in the sport. And that the podcast had that negative effect on me because you start getting noticed, you start getting recognized a little bit. And I'm not going to say it went to my head, but it definitely put pressure
To
on me.
perform better.
I had to do everything. I had to shoot good, I had to coach good, I had to make good content. And that's nearly impossible. So either the content suffered, my shooting suffered, or my coaching suffered. I chose to not let my coaching suffer and really focus on Maggie and the kids and stuff for a while. And make sure that I finished that part of my life. And now I'm at a point where I can focus on the podcast and focus on my shooting again. Now I don't have that issue. Like I recognize, like, listen, some days I'm gonna suck. Some days I'm gonna be good. But you're not gonna be good if you're not real with yourself, if you don't put the time in and you don't work on your weaknesses. So, like, and that's just a moment of transparency for me, everyone. Like I can admit where it's been. The podcast has been eye-opening in so many ways. You start to learn. And if you haven't noticed, the podcasts have definitely gotten better in the last like 6 months. You start to notice where people really need the help and where they and you learn how to deliver those hard to listen to messages. And right now, John, this is a hard message for us to get across, for you to get across. And this was your idea. And so I commend you for that because not everybody wants to have those unfiltered conversations, and we do on this podcast very often. So I appreciate you being willing to and being vulnerable about it and like putting it out there because we're really just trying to help other people's journeys. So I don't I've already gone on too much of a rant. I apologize for that, but yeah, man, I think it's good stuff. I'm glad that you had the confidence and the willingness to like put that message out there. We just want everybody to be better, you know?
Yeah, I'm not too afraid to poke fun at my failures or highlight them either.
Yeah, and that's I can honestly say like my friendship with you has helped that part has worn off on me with this whole situation because well it has to because we freaking make fun of each other all the time, but besides that like in a reality standpoint like it was it's a hard lesson to learn. We've seen podcast stuff come and go like people jump in and they're like oh. We yell it out all the time because you're content person now, Alton. Don't let yourself get too sucked in. But it's a lot. It's a lot. Like don't bite off more than you can chew, people. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so yeah, if you throw a 290, don't feel that pressure that you got to throw something higher and then higher and then higher. It's
Yeah.
okay.
Really? I
Post
mean,
that 260, 250, 240, whatever range you're in, don't be afraid.
yeah. So, and just for food for thought for everyone, like what really matters is like for the classic, for example, your goal is to make that cut. That's the goal this weekend, that weekend. Make the cut. All right.
It's
Because,
gonna
and
be a
what's
challenge. It's gonna be tough.
it will be tough. It always is, but we always talk about, oh, where do you think the cut's gonna be? Like, and we always think that it's gonna jump to like some crazy score, and it never does. It's progressively gone up a little bit, but I think what I don't remember what it was last year. Was it like 507 or 510?
I think it was like right around that. Yeah. I don't think it's gonna be. It might be a little higher just with the sheer numbers of people,
Yeah.
but for on the men's side, only 20% of the shooters are gonna make the cut,
Right. So you just got to
roughly.
be in that 20%. So like you can't focus on, like you can't be upset over in that situation. Like you can't allow yourself to be upset over the fact that you didn't shoot a personal best. First of all, you're shooting 11, so it doesn't count. But
Yeah, they're all fake scores.
yeah, they're fake scores, right? So
Compared to, the world standard.
right. And that's the standard that we go by on this podcast. So,
Yeah.
but you have to just make that cut, because then that's when, like, you can say the pressure's on, but you really, like, once you get to the head-to-heads, those, like, once again, any scores that you shot online or in practice no longer matter in those moments. It is strictly that next arrow that you're going to shoot in a bow. You got to forget about all that stuff and learning. And that's, I think that kind of carries over to this conversation. Learning to forget about the bad scores and forgetting about the good scores produces consistent scores. And you're going to have to do that when you're going head to head. Anything can happen there. So, all right, man. I think we covered it. I think that's good. It's going to be a short one, but it is what it is. I think
It's short
we're.
but necessary. It's short but necessary.
I think it is short but necessary. We've only had a handful of these like short but necessary podcasts and over the years, but this is definitely one of them. There's a lot of good comments there. No, there's obviously no real questions on this one, but I think a lot of people that make the cut and take pictures, Marcel said. I don't know what that means, but okay, Marcel. I'll be taking pictures. I can take care of that for you because doing nothing. Hi Matt. Hi Ben. Hi Kurt. I thought I saw Jared comment. Jared Mollis as well. I saw Ben Smizer. I want to get to the point that I don't regret any shot I took in a game. Ah, I just lost the comment. It disappeared. I don't know. Probably because I don't have the live feed open. I think we're up to like 33 viewers, buddy. That's not too bad for an impromptu live stream. So. All right, my guy. Well, good luck with finishing up this tune and getting ready for the classic. Good luck
Never.
ice fishing. I'm sure that's coming pretty soon, although I think it's supposed to
It'd be short-lived, but it's gonna happen.
let me know when you're going. If I'm available, I'll take a spin up. I'd love to meet
Yeah.
you.
Right now the plan's like Thursday, Friday, maybe.
Thursday, Friday this week then. Let me check my basketball schedule. As long as I'm not reffing, I don't. I think I actually have.
I'm open for a while, so Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay. All right. All
We
right.
can make it
Sweet.
happen.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, buddy. This time I'll have my fishing license, I promise. Long story, people. Long story. All right. We're gonna call this one. It's all over but the crying. And I appreciate everyone who did log in. Hopefully it helps some people. Yeah, I hope it helped all of you. Well, there's Rob Coffle. Rob just joined in for a minute. Hey, Rob, we gave you a major shout out in the last episode, and the whole Lancaster crew with registration coming up and closing soon. So, just want to let you know, buddy. Appreciate you logging in. He's in. We got a guest. We should send him the link quick and get him to hop on the live feed. But we should definitely link up with him.
We
There's
need to do
Joella.
like
Now Joella's hopping in. Jeez, see, everybody's hopping in now. What
need
the
to
heck?
do a link like a quick Lancaster prep checklist.
We should. Oh,
Or
yeah, we
like a
should.
like not prepping for the shoot, but prepping to come to the shoot.
Yeah, we can do that. We'll talk about that maybe going into next week. All right.
Sounds good.
Maybe we'll pull Rob Koffeld in for a quick Q&A session. All right, everyone, we're out. Peace out. See ya.